Hello, welcome to the True Faith Weekly Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, joined by Andrew Bolland, and Ben Wade will also be joined very shortly by Richie Smith. Newcastle have won. We're all, well, me and Bolland are, Ben, we're all hanging, because obviously Newcastle winning meant going out till the early hours.
Yeah, that's not why you're out. Do try and ally yourself to actual real lads who go.
Real lads.
The real lads.
Real lads, if only I was like the real lads. Anyway, Newcastle won, so we're doing this. Oh, here's Richie. So yeah, massive win for Newcastle yesterday. We're all delighted. And we're just going to do a kind of shortened podcast today because Man City on Tuesday, another absolutely massive game. And we'll have a longer one out on Wednesday. I think the picture after Man City will be clearer as well regarding survival. Also, while we're recording this, we're watching Celtic Rangers. So there may be reaction to that because Bolland is a big Celtic fan and I hate them. all at the game. Richie, I take it you managed to watch the game yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I watched it online.
Excellent. Right, well, I'll come to you first then before we'll go to the lads. Thoughts on the day, on the game? I mean, obviously a massive, crucial 3 points, but was there much about the performance which suggested to you that will stay up, or is it still very much looking like an impossible task to you?
I think the reaction about the performance is maybe a little bit over the top, and I can appreciate and understand why. You know, it's been a long time since we've won. It's been a long time since we've won in the end by a convincing scoreline. I hate to sound kind of like negative when we should be kind of enjoying at least a victory, but I do think against maybe a decent side who were on form, we could have been put away in the first half. I think Swansea, you know, missed some really, really good chances, and I think at times we did look in midfield a little bit vulnerable, the space and holes we gave them. That being said, you've got to commend us on, you know, the fact that we've kept a clean sheet. I think that's very much down to having a much more natural defensive setup at the back, as in like with players who are more, you know, actual defenders. And I'll include Vernon and Anita in that. And I think, you know, the showed character that they haven't shown in previous matches. They got stuck in more. They put the bodies in front of the ball. I think they could do more on stopping crosses coming in. I think that's one thing that we don't do enough of, but we look like we just had a bit more between the teeth than we have in previous weeks. And I think, you know, we also had some players who stood out as well, which we haven't been able to see for a while. So yeah, it hasn't made us think that we're gonna go and, you know, see the Man City on Tuesday with any more comfort, especially given their performance against Chelsea yesterday. But, you know, it gives us confidence. It shows that there is a bit of fight there that I question that there was. And hopefully it just gives us that much more of a chance to actually, you know, kind of get into Man City more, and you go into that game not kind of completely writing us off, but giving us a bit of a sniff of a chance. So fair play. They've kept a little bit of hope alive, and I think that's all it is, but it's a little bit of hope.
Okay, and we'll talk about the connotations later on after we talk about the game. So Ben, I'll come to you and let's talk team selection, because it was a lot of eyebrows raised pre-game with the non-selections of, well, Cisse was kind of, Mitrovic being dropped on the bench was kind of predictable after Southampton. But John Joe Shelby not starting was the big one. Yeah. When Wijnaldum moved back out to the left-hand side, Sissoko playing behind the striker. Mm. Do you think justification from the result, or do you think that still potentially there is improvement to be made by Rafa regarding picking the best lineup?
I definitely still think there's improvement, but you can't argue with the result. I mean, the decision to drop Shelby, although I didn't agree with it, I think it did work, because I think when he came on, I mean, obviously he's brilliant on the ball, but I just think we looked a lot more solid with Tiote and Colback in the middle, who are probably more defensive orientated players. They're more worried about sort of covering the full backs, which I think they did really well. Especially Dummett and Anita could have been left one-on-one in a lot more situations had we sort of not played Colback, who I think did a really good job sort of protecting Dummett a lot of the times in the first half. And I just think, in terms of the sort of play, I mean, Genie out on the left, although he didn't really do a lot,
Get in!
Rangers just scored in there.
That's not going to be my spot.
I just think, yeah, I mean, Juni still didn't have much of an influence on the game, but I didn't think it mattered. I mean, to be honest, I was really surprised with Swansea, how poor they were. But, I mean, in terms of the team, I think there's still players on the bench that I feel could be having a much bigger impact for within the players he seems to be sticking with, the likes of Wijnaldum and co. But in terms of, obviously, it got the result, got the desired effect, and it's a massive confidence boost, I think, going forward. That at least he dropped Taylor, which was the biggest thing. I thought Lascelles was one of the matches.
I think he's out for the season, is he, Taylor?
Is he?
Yeah.
But regardless, Lascelles came in and looked so much more assured. And as Richie alluded to there, he's just a proper defender. I'm still a bit dubious about Anita, Richie, but I don't think you'd ever call him a defender. But I mean, he dealt with
I don't think you'd even call him a footballer. But
he dealt with the threat that was in front of him. I mean, I thought, to be fair, he did get done a couple of times off. A terrible, terrible Montero, but he was recovering a lot of times and stopped some crosses coming in, so yeah, I'll give him that.
Let's be positive, lads. Anita played well. He had a good game, Bolland. I know you did like admitting he had a good game at right back. As I was just saying to the lads off air, Daryl Janmark was in the box, two boxes along from me. Like, there's no way he doesn't look like he's playing football anytime soon. Like, oh, I'm in a full-on sling. People were going, how can't he play football? He's signing autographs. Like, he couldn't have played football. Unless it was for sure, which I doubt. So if it looks like Anita will play Tuesday night as well. Bolland, good day for you yesterday. Was that the kind of thing, you know, do you think that's been coming since Rafa's taken over? Or do you think, you know, we've got a bit lucky, some people are suggesting?
Yeah, I think it papers over the cracks a little bit. I don't think anyone particularly played well yesterday. Swansea are not a very good side. Like Montero, like, I think a better winger would have taken advantage of the fact that Vernini is not very good at football. Sorry, Kenny Miller's just it's just papering over the cracks for me at the minute. I don't think, like, Sissoko was better but still not very good. Like, Wijnaldum was absent for most of the game. Cisse didn't really do much. And I think they're going to have to step their game up against City if we're going to get anything. They're going to play like that, City will take us to pieces.
Alright, that's pretty negative. Yeah. I'm going to be a bit more positive. I'm delighted with one, just from a personal perspective, and I'm sure you lads to say it was just nice. It's just nice, isn't it, when a football match is in the Premier League, just despite your precarious position. It's just nice, like, after the match, reading one, you know, looking forward to reading manager interviews, looking forward to match of the day. And it was the kind of performance, which I've seen Newcastle give from the Swansea perspective for years. Not like now, not when we're this bad, but under the Pardew, a lot. It's kind of go away from home, concede a really soft goal, never really get going, come back into it when you're already kind of behind and not out of the game. And then get done at the end, and it was a professional performance, and I thought the game management was very good from Benitez. Now, obviously, Swansea did have a couple of chances. Carl Darlow hasn't made a save in the whole game. And that again is like watching Newcastle play away from home. But I thought Benitez is a big advocate of confidence. He constantly talks about confidence. He never shuts up about it. And you can see, particularly the second half, and even, I know it was the end of the game, but even after the second one went in, the confidence flooded back. So hopefully we can take that on to Man City. It's going to be a different game.
One thing to say about it is I've seen Newcastle play a lot better than that this season and get beat. So if we can play badly and win 3-0, I think that's probably a positive thing.
Oh, definitely. I mean, listen, I don't think we'll play badly. I think we could play better, and I thought Swansea were poor. You know, hopefully that Swansea performance is indicative of the performance of sides who've got nothing to play for. Whereas your Liverpool, I know it's a different fish, Liverpool next weekend, but your Liverpool, your Palace, maybe even your Spurs, and definitely your Villa, if that's the standard of performance, then brilliant. You know, then we should be able to pick up points, but we'll come on to that later. I just want to go on to Twitter before we move on, because we've had a few questions come in for us lot to answer. So Jack Talbot's been in touch and asked a few questions. Would you opt for Anita over Jan Matt for Tuesday's game? Obviously, if Jan Matt's fit, Absolutely not. But you lads, would you be starting Anita ahead of Jan Mat?
No, no chance.
If Jan Mat can play, Jan Mat starts. Like
Richie, Anita's biggest fan, would you start Anita over Jan Mat?
I would definitely consider it. I know that sounds ridiculous, and I'm no bigger Anita fan than any of you lads. But I do think he put in a performance yesterday that I don't think Jan Mat's put in for a long time at right back. So I do think there's a genuine question to be asked there. You know, I think, and I don't know. I just thought he had a really good game. He looked solid. He looked, you know, he got forward. I can't remember us talking about Jan Mat having a good game for a long time. So.
No, I think that's harsh. I mean, yeah, we'll disagree on this one, but I think Jan Mat, when you say he got forward, first half especially, was put in some fantastic positions by Townsend, and he wasted them, which is fine because he's not a proper right back. But I would be starting Jan Mat all day, and particularly with the team starting to do a little better, you hope everyone starts to play better.
Like Jan Mat even definitely going to be fit?
No,
like, I thought he was kind of out for a few weeks.
I thought, having stood next to him in the toilet yesterday. He doesn't look like a man who can play football anytime soon with his sling. Didn't look like 3 days away. He's 3 days away from a 90 minutes against Champions League semi-finalists. Jack Talbot also asked, regardless of our results, can we carry this heart and desire throughout the rest of the season in the remaining fixtures? I would say yes, lads. I think the corner has been turned in terms of the rank performances. What do you think, Ben?
I think it's too early to say that. There's been too many times this season where we thought we might have turned the corner, and then the next game we've just been terrible. Wait and see how we perform well against City and perform well against Liverpool, then you can start talking about the corner being turned. But there's been too many false dawns this season for me.
Has there? I can't think of any false dawns.
I think Spurs, Liverpool won those games, then we're just terrible after that. Then we had West Brom, West Ham.
West Ham, right.
Yeah, I suppose so.
We've had these moments in the season where you think, oh, it's finally starting to click, and then the next game they turn into
the only difference I'd say this time is we've got Rafa, which is massive. Still, like, you feel like, as Dodge was pointing out there, he's a massive confidence man. I think a lot of times that's what it comes down to. I mean, you look at that Swansea team. We went to the Swansea away game at the start of the season, and they absolutely tore it apart. Now obviously there's a lot of water under the bridge in terms of this season since that game, but just the team's basically reverted into performances this time around. I think, I mean, they just turned, it didn't look like they left the bus. I think the number of balls they were passing just out of play, and
that
was one of the worst. I mean, we've seen some bad performances come to St James this season. That was right up there with the worst of them. I mean, I was suggesting it looked like Ashley paid them off just because how bad they were at times. Like, I've got a little sort of hope that Ashley's just going to go to every club that we've still got to play the rest of the season, just pay them off.
Three jackets.
Yeah.
I think there's a danger amongst Newcastle fans, and understandably so. Every time we beat someone, we're always like,
they were terrible.
They were a disgrace. while there's bound to be truth in that, that you will win some games where you actually played quite well and actually forced the opposition to play badly. I mean, that kind of brings me on to the next point, Richie, which I'll ask you. Would you... for Man City, sustain the Tiote callback partnership and see Shelby on the bench?
That's a good question. I definitely have callback in there because I think it was just one of his most assured performances in a while. I think, as much as anything, he got to play in a position that he was comfortable in, and I think he put in some nice passes as well, and I think he did well. Tiote had such a typical Tiote performance yesterday where at times he looked like, you can understand why he's in the team. Other times he just looks like he's just going to be an absolute howler and you give the ball away in a really bad position. I don't know whether Tiote would like get away with it against a team like Man City, so I'd really consider bringing Shelby back in. But then again, I think you bring Shelby back in, you're relying on Colback to be that defensive midfielder, and really he's not that great as that kind of person just literally sits in front of the back four. I don't know. I'm a little bit undecided on that one. I really am. I mean, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on what you think. But I think it's I wouldn't be confident about playing Tioti, but at the same time, I'm not sure that Colback and Shelby together is, in, as a sitting two, is the right solution either.
I actually thought Tioti had a decent game yesterday. He started off slow, but he grew into it. Like up until just before he came off, where he was clearly knackered, I thought he was actually one of our best players on the pitch. He was just stopping everything. And we need someone to protect that back four, because the back four is slightly.
It's a patchwork, isn't it? It's players that shouldn't be playing, really. It's one of those, isn't it? I guess it depends how Rafa sees the game going, and how he sort of wants to play. Because I think if he's thinking of just keeping things tight, then I would say definitely go with Tioti. And if we were looking to sort of hit them on the counter attack, but obviously if he's wanting to try and hold the ball and sort of tie them out in terms of sort of trying to control possession, which I can't see we're doing, but we are at home, then I would definitely think Shelby's the best man for possession football, just because he's so comfortable on the ball, and I think he can pass to it at times, looks very sort of worried on the ball, and I think he panics a little bit. And
did you see the moment yesterday when Tioti did a brilliant tackle on Sigurdsson? Fantastic tackle. Opened up like 3-on-3, and he just fell over himself. What the hell do I do here? Like, just run with the ball, mate.
We had a great chance attack. I think you had to pass it like to Sergio or Dummett or something like that.
I don't think he'll change things, because I think we haven't seen this yet from Rafa, not even at Leicester away. But I think it's going to be a get a half time at 0-0, mm-hmm. or get the 60 minutes at 0-0 and go from there. And everyone behind the ball will look dangerous from set pieces. That's two goals from set pieces yesterday. That's a huge difference under the new regime.
That's what I was going to. That's one of my big points I was going to make. I mean, what we've got now, which we haven't had in, I'd say since Danny Guthrie probably, is someone who can actually take a decent corner. And both the crosses yesterday, there was nothing spectacular about them from Townsend.
Yeah.
They were just put in the middle of the box with a bit of pace, a bit of whip on. You know, the first one, the Cells did brilliant. I watched goals on Sunday this morning. They actually it clearly looked like a set piece that worked on, because they had Sissoko, who was looking to block the run, and then Lascelles was the main target man, and you could clearly see that was what they tried on both.
Yeah.
Both goals. And the second one, the ball's put in there. Mitrovic is, you know, you put the ball in that area, you're gonna create chances. You know, 5 times out of 10 or whatever, you know, it's going to happen. And I just think it all comes down to just having somebody who is actually a natural crosser of a ball taking the corner kicks. And it's I don't know. You can say Benitez has worked his magic on helping them with that set piece routine, but I just think a lot of it comes down to the delivery. We just haven't had that.
Yeah.
Since Townsend came on board.
Nah, definitely. I think it's just you see other teams. Sort of so many times going for balls just by a decent delivery into the box, into the right place, as opposed to our tried and failed sort of attempts in the past back post, where how many goals see come from that type of thing. Just at least now we're putting in a danger area. I mean, that second goal, okay, Mitrovic did brilliant to win the header, but it just hit someone, that header was blocked. It just falls to Sissoko. Like,
it's a good turning goal. I think it's a bit of an underrated goal, that as well.
He took it really well. But do you know what I mean? You're putting balls in the box like that, you're going to get ricochets, and there's that many people in around the box. You're going to get opportunities from a bit of chaos that you don't get sort of whipping it at the edge of the box or at the out sort of far post or whatever. So I think, I mean, it's just obvious. Surely I thought it would be an obvious plan just to get it in the mixer in terms of just to try and prey on a bit of sort of lack of concentration from defenders and just a bit of luck.
Yeah, back to the team for Tuesday. So Benitez is going to do that. We still have to score. I mean, I'll come on in a second, but I think we need to beat Man City personally. We could lose, but if we lost, we'd have to beat Liverpool. We could probably get away with 2 points. That would probably mean no more defeats this season, which is possible. It puts a lot of pressure on us. But I mean, I said this to Richie on Twitter earlier. I'm desperate for Wijnaldum to be dropped. He was still anonymous yesterday. He was less anonymous, but you know, still the kind of only, as I said, the lads off air, the only reason I say for keeping Wijnaldum in the team is that he's been so bad for so long. He's due for it. He's got to have a good game sometime. He's got to score or assist at some point. I presume that's what management are thinking, but I'd much rather see Obertan playing or Aarons, because to exploit Zabaleta's lack of pace. Wijnaldum will be coming up against Zabaleta, who is slow, old, not the player he was, and I would much rather see an Obertan really exploiting that deficiency that City have. And I think you could afford to get rid of, put Sissoko back on the right, get rid of Wijnaldum, or sorry, so not Obertan. Sissoko on the right, Townsend on the left, or whatever, however you want to play them, and you could afford to play Shelby as well, because you're going to need someone
keeping the ball.
I mean, Colback does do that, but it's not
the same type of play, though, is it? He's not as direct as Shelby. He doesn't have the killer ball to put someone through, and I think just they dovetail really well. I mean, we've spoken a number of times on the pod about the West Ham game, like they played really well together, and I think that's something that we've missed a little bit when Colback's
out. I'd love to see Colback and Shelby together playing as a midfield too, but I can't see him dropping Tiote. Let's talk about the connotations, lads, and what you three all think we need. Richie, what do you think we need for survival then? How do you see this is a massive week now, two really, really hard games, Man City and Liverpool. Off the back of yesterday, me and Ben and Carly are going to go down to Liverpool on Saturday. Just the £48 for the ticket. Scandalous. But,
I think as much as anything, it's obviously a huge if we got 3 points on Tuesday, it's the mental edge of just being outside of that relegation zone.
Yeah.
For the other teams, just to know that they're back in it. Even if that just might be temporary, just the mental edge of just being out of that relegation zone when, you know, last week we just thought it was almost just not going to happen. When you look at the table, you're kind of trying to work out how many points would see you safe, and you'd have to say somewhere kind of 37, 38 points is probably what you're going to need. So what's that for us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like that's like 10 points if we're going at the top end of that. So you're looking at beating Palace, Villa, and then you're looking at, yeah, as you say, getting 3 points off either Man City or Liverpool and trying to draw against Spurs last game of the season. It still feels like such a big ask. I keep on telling myself that I've said we were down and out after Norwich, but you know, there's a little glimmer of hope there after yesterday's Newcastle's victory and Sunderland's victory, but I don't know. It just when you talk it through, it just still feels like such a big ask. I don't know, it feels kind of dampens your enthusiasm a little bit. But
one of the massive advantages we have, Richie, is that we now play twice again before Sunderland play, and three times again before Palace play. Palace don't, obviously we'll play Man City Tuesday, Sunderland's Norwich, game in hand. Sorry. Yeah, Norwich. No, yeah, Norwich. We'll play three times again before Norwich play. So we'll play Man City Tuesday when neither Sunderland nor Norwich play this week. We'll play before Sunderland. Sunderland play Sunday against Arsenal at home next weekend. We play Saturday, so that's our two before they play again. And we'll play next weekend. Palace don't have a game because it's the FA Cup semi-final and we're due to play Watford Everton, and then the following week we play Palace at 3 o'clock.
Do you mean Norwich or Palace?
Do I keep getting them?
You keep saying Palace.
Right,
I'm not asked about how many times we play before Palace. What about Norwich?
Anyway, then the weekend after Norwich don't play, we play Palace, right, and Norwich don't play Arsenal, which is another hard game, till 5:15. So if we could just pick up 6, 5, even 4 points, 4 points wouldn't be enough realistically, but you know, if we could just pick up 5 points in those three games, or even better, 6, that would put huge pressure on Norwich, even though Norwich will have one game in hand on us by the next time they play. I mean, we've got to back Arsenal. I mean, I don't know what your lads think about Arsenal today. I mean, Arsenal are down to fourth now, 4 points ahead of Man United, or a point ahead of Man United, are they?
I think it's four, isn't it?
Arsenal are down.
Although actually, Man U won, didn't they?
Yeah, Man U won. It's probably 4 points ahead of them. If Arsenal drop points against Palace today or lose, then you think, well, you know, next time. They're going to and Norwich after that as well.
It's 3 points. Arsenal's
Arsenal's next two games are Norwich and Sunderland. So we I don't know whether it's better Arsenal winning and going on a run, or do you trust them because Arsenal are so flaky? And teams in recent years, teams in the relegation zone who've played Arsenal at the end of the season, Sunderland twice and Wigan spring to mind of getting major results against them to stop up, because Arsenal, when Arsenal's season's over, their players are mentally weak. So it's a real tough one, but we're hugely reliant on Arsenal over the next couple of weeks. Ben, how do you see this going? Do you think we're going to afford to lose both games this week and stay up?
I feel like we need something out of them just because our goal difference is so bad. I think that's going to come into it. I mean, I feel like if we can get three wins out of these last five games, it's not that
bad, you know. It is bad compared to Sunderland. We're only a goal behind Norwich now. Yeah,
right. To be honest, I think Norwich are down there. I think it's between us and Sunderland now. You feel like Sunderland somehow will just... They got all the luck in the world yesterday. There's probably plenty more for them to come. It's just what they do. I mean, just looking at the games now, they've got to go away to Stoke.
Odd game that, Stoke away.
They've got Chelsea and Everton at home, and then they finish with Watford away.
And Everton's away form is exceptional, because their home form is so poor. They'd be down Everton if the away form matched their home form.
You feel like they're probably going to get something out of those games. But I just feel like if we can get six more points out of the Palace and Villa games, and then just anything out of the other ones, I think probably would be enough. Just because I don't fancy Sunderland going away. I mean, they've got two quite tough away games then, and the home games, which you would say are they've got a big chance in at Arsenal,
even
Chelsea, and Everton.
They can't score at home.
They're tough games. So
Sunderland were not great yesterday, by the way. I'd put their performance like similar to ours, and I think I was maybe a little bit better than theirs. But honestly, like Norwich had the chances to score and to be up at half time again, and
could have had penalties themselves.
Yeah, Sunderland, you know, they got to consider who they were playing. Norwich aren't a brilliant side, and I don't think they were that brilliant. Like Sunderland against, I know they always seem to do it, but you'd like to think that the likes of Arsenal would be able to just, you know, the amount of possession Arsenal have, you know, I can't see a team like Sunderland beating them, if Arsenal dominate possession in that game. But, you know, who knows, it's just...
Yeah, you've got to be positive, and the easy thing to do in these situations is just start thinking that these other teams are absolutely class, and they're going to pick up loads of points. I've no doubt that Sunderland and Norwich will lose games they should win and draw games they should win this season, and everyone keeps, a lot of people and Sunderland fans and Sam Allardyce are talking about how good Sunderland have been. They've only lost four in the last 14. They've only won two. You know, you score first against Sunderland, you win. You know, Sunderland haven't come back from behind the season, I don't think, at all. Allardyce is... this isn't a bad thing. Allardyce is very much like a lot of teams down there. Allardyce wants to get to half-time. Doesn't matter who they're playing, whether it be West Brom at home, Leicester at home, he wants to get to half-time 0-0 and take it from there. So if Arsenal score first at the Stadium Light, or Everton... You know, Everton have got a lot to play for. I think Everton's a hard game for Sunderland, especially away from home. They're much better away from home. They have the FA Cup, and Martin is under that much pressure, particularly with the away support from Everton. That's a real tough game. I still think we'll do it. I think we need to pick up points this week, though. If we lose both games, I think it's very, very, very unlikely we'll manage. We're relying on the total incompetence of others. Like you say, Ben, the look the ref gave someone yesterday, not so much with the pen. I think it was a pen, but that second goal was a disgrace. You know, that's just a foul.
Well, you're right, it was a pen, but I think... As you said, there was a more blatant foul that he didn't give, which he could have easily bottled that decision for their pen and not given it.
Yeah.
And then if he gives them just one or two, I heard a funny bit of commentary on BBC when I was on the way into the match. I think it was Clive Allen or someone on BBC saying, "Well, Norwich, they're getting all these shouts here. They're bound to get the next one." As if you get a penalty for having accumulated seven shouts. Yeah, well, they have to get the next one. It's that's not how it works, Clive. But anyway, it probably does with them, to be honest.
It does with Mariner.
Yeah, exactly. With other teams, but Sunderland, I mean, as you said, They weren't brilliant. I just think it was Nigel Pawin.
It's also a bit of luck, and this is something that just, you know, our goal yesterday, the second goal was a great goal to score because it was just the kind of goal whenever I score. A, it was from a set piece.
Yeah.
B, it was just like we've got a little bit of luck. And it's just, I've said for a long time, we have to score great goals. Normally, under McLaren, we'll have to score very good or excellent goals. And like Sunderland getting that pen yesterday, they had they're practically their only attack of the half. They had a really good attacking position that they actually totally cocked up. Defoe put the ball across the box. I think it was Barini took the ball away from goal. He'd actually lost the ball. You know, Wisdom had got the foot in. They weren't going to score, and they got a pen from it. And it's like, that's a little bit of luck that Sunderland seemed to get that we done. And that could change. Bolland, we're kind of wrapping up here. Bolland, the atmosphere yesterday at the match, I was very disappointed with it. What do you think? Why do you think it was? And do you think it'll be better on Tuesday? Because I think it has to be. We need a good atmosphere.
I think a lot of people were just dead nervous. I know I was dead nervous going into it. I was sort of expecting the worst. And I think a lot of people around were just thinking, this is just going to be the same story. I could see Swansea scoring in the first 20 minutes and it just being another absolutely dour day. Obviously, the goals did a lot to sort of
rally
people, bring people back round. And by when, I think even up until the second goal, the atmosphere was still a bit sort of
very flat.
I think the worry I felt, I mean, obviously we sit in the singing corner, I mean, they were singing most of the game, sort of sections of it, but I agree there was still a lot of negativity. I think a lot of it was because how bad Swansea had been, and they were still in the game up till that second goal, and they'd actually carved out two or three very good opportunities that they'd missed, and it was almost inevitable that we were going to cock this up again. And I can understand, obviously, people have been frustrated before now, but again, I was the same as you. I mean, I'm generally trying to look at things more positively, and I know there was still a lot of negativity about players going on.
The way the team was playing as well, it was just maybe performance on the pitch from the team to start with as well.
That's why I think it's the problem is people think, oh, get on the players' backs. It's like their natural reaction as opposed to sort of supporting them, unfortunately. But
I'd say what you mentioned on the radio show the other day, like if Sissoko made one bad pass, people were just like,
Yeah.
And people have got that set in their mind now. I mean, it was actually one of the most enjoyable games for me yesterday because the bloke who normally sits behind was an absolute nightmare, wasn't there?
Yeah,
I think he's played it, hopefully, fingers crossed. Although he'll probably be back there when we're...
I think the last game he was there was the Bournemouth game, wasn't it? When Sissoko got taken off and he basically peaked, his life had peaked. He's like, I may as well not come back. It'll never get any better.
I'll tell you what it was. He probably saw Moussa as captain on the way into the game and just called
it. In the pub.
Like, nah, I'm not having that. I'm not going.
It certainly picked up after the second goal. I think the fans certainly started believing in
the that was the thing. I think it was just the nervous atmosphere above all things, just because of how the game went. I mean, we've already said we didn't play like brilliantly, and the fact that we hadn't been able to kill them off, I think it was just that nervous energy. But once we got that second one, as you say, everyone was back on behind them and it was much better sort of end to the game. It was quite a good atmosphere, I thought, coming out. I mean, not one of the best, but
there was a little bit of belief coming back to the fans as the game went on as well, I think, and that helped. And Rafa Benitez's birthday song, I think, was brilliant. It's one of the best things I've seen.
Because obviously I wasn't in the corner and it was really loud by the end. Was it just a one-off or did people have to get it going a couple of times?
It was just a one-off. Straight away, yeah. Someone started it. Well, I didn't even realise it was a bit. I'd not seen
it.
You
must see his birthday.
So,
same day as me dad's.
Happy birthday, Mr. Hurst.
Yeah, right, lads. That probably just about does it. I don't think there's too much more needs to be said for this week. I'll just quickly get your predictions for Tuesday. I'll start with you, Richie. How do you think it'll go?
I'll
go on 2-1-2. Like. I'm going 1-0 Newcastle, Ben.
I'm going 3-1 again.
3-1 again.
We're against Swansea. Positive.
1-0 Newcastle.
Yeah, we are. It'll be some podcast Wednesday. We'll probably be a bit more... normally when we do the podcast after a win, we're a bit more buzzing. I just think it's the effect of so little sleep / alcohol that I've... plus a tense Rangers Celtic game.
I'm so nervous about this.
Thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday, hopefully with another winter report on. And yeah, follow us at TFWootyPod on Twitter. Thanks to all of you lads for your time.
Ta.